It's Wednesday, November 26, 2008, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. This, of course, is Wednesday, and it will be our last podcast before we hit the month of December, because, of course, tomorrow is Thanksgiving here in the United States, so I'll be heading up to the North Oregon coast to spend some time with Cannabis Carrie and her friends and family up there. Should be a good time. I want to give you a heads up on a program that's coming up the week that we'll be returning, which will be the week of December 1st. On Tuesday, December 2nd, there's going to be an excellent documentary called Marijuana Nation, and it's part of the National Geographic Channel exploration on the drug war. And it's hosted by the journalist Lisa Ling. And judging by the trailer, which we've got up online at stash.normal.org, it looks like it could be a pretty positive documentary, at least from the standpoint of taking an objective look at the war on marijuana and its users. For today's Audio Stash, we're going to give you part two of my interview with Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre, who's talking about the recent picks by President-elect Obama for his upcoming administration posts. Then it's a good dose of cannabis science from our friend Dr. Mitch Earlywine from the State University of New York at Albany. We've also got a special musical break to take you into the holiday season. My good friend Chief Greenbud from Nashville, Tennessee. You can find out more about him at myspace.com/CGB. Just sent me an advanced copy of one of the songs that's coming out on his forthcoming Marijuana Christmas album. This one's called Let's Get Blazed for the Holidays, and it's going to be a fun one to have playing while you roast some chestnuts by the open fire, I suppose. I hope you enjoy it. All right, folks, it's going to be a long holiday weekend, so let's load up the six-footer. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Suspiciously high power bill leads to marijuana arrests. Jacksonville, Florida. A tipster and a look at a Jacksonville Electric Authority bill has led to four arrests for growing marijuana in Atlantic Beach. Jacksonville sheriff's officers arrested three adults and a juvenile after finding a garden in a closet Sunday afternoon. Police say they received a tip that marijuana was being grown at the house at 859 Rudder Road and checked the JEA bill, which was several hundred dollars higher than the neighborhood average. According to police, officers knocked on the door and could already smell marijuana from the porch. The homeowner, James Floyd, answered the door and confirmed there was marijuana in the house. Police arrested 44-year-old James Floyd, his wife Tara Floyd, 39, and his son James Philpott, age 23. When they searched the house, police saw a closet that had been converted into a grow room, complete with many lights, tin foil-lined walls, and jugs of water. Police also arrested a juvenile who told police that Philpott bought the marijuana and all of the paraphernalia used for growing and smoking it from the internet. The juvenile said Philpott told him he was tired of buying marijuana and wanted to grow it himself. Police confiscated the marijuana and the things used to help grow it in the closet. Oh, those ever-helpful tipsters, protecting our neighborhoods from adults who are growing marijuana in a closet so they can smoke it and not support some black market dealer. It's such a relief that the electric company won't have to make those extra several hundred dollars a month, too. The only thing that is accomplished when police raid home closet grows is the ruining of people's lives. There is not the slightest dent in the overall consumption of marijuana, the chances people will try marijuana, the amount marijuana costs, how hard marijuana is to get, or how many people want to smoke marijuana. The more you bust the closet grows, the more people turn to the black market dealers, whose profit trails lead back to the death and corruption created by the drug cartels. Whether and how we ever fully regulate cannabis sales is a worthy debate. But continuing to prohibit personal private use, possession, and cultivation of a non-toxic, mildly psychotropic weed is without a doubt the most wasteful and counterproductive government program ever. 7,300 pounds of marijuana seized at San Diego entry ports. From the San Jose Mercury News. San Diego. More than 7,300 pounds of marijuana have been seized at ports of entry near San Diego, and a driver in a federal trusted traveler program is accused of smuggling in some of the drugs. Federal officials say that the marijuana was seized Tuesday in three busts, two at the Otay Mesa port of entry and the other at the San Ysidro port of entry. Officials say a van at Otay Mesa was holding about 4,400 pounds of marijuana, while another van waiting in line nearby had more than 2,900 pounds. The drivers, both Mexicans, were arrested. The bust in San Ysidro involved a driver in the Trusted Traveler Program, Sentry. Officials say the driver, a 30-year-old U.S. citizen who lives in Tijuana, was driving a truck with nearly 255 pounds of marijuana, valued at $115,000. This Sentry system, or Secure Electronic Network for Travelers Rapid Inspection, was first instituted at Otay Mesa in 1995 to speed up the process of checking the trucks coming through the border. You have to go through a lengthy process to get into this program. Sentry provides expedited CBP processing for pre-approved low-risk travelers. Applicants must voluntarily undergo a thorough biographical background check against criminal, law enforcement, customs, immigration, and terrorist indices, a 10-fingerprint law enforcement check, and a personal interview with a CBP officer. This costs at least $122, more if you're registering multiple drivers and multiple vehicles. Then you get a special ID card with a radio chip, and your vehicle gets a special scannable sticker, and you get to go through the border checkpoint in a special express lane that takes about 10 seconds instead of 35 seconds. Who would have thought that marijuana smugglers from Mexico would take advantage of that system? And if smugglers can get through these background checks, fingerprinting, and an interview, why couldn't terrorists?
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
Kansas man sentenced for throwing marijuana into jail.
Selena man who helped deliver a Christmas gift of marijuana to an inmate in the Salina County Jail on Christmas Day of 2007 was sentenced Monday to 2 years and 8 months in prison for trafficking in contraband in a correctional institution. Isaac B. Slay, Jr., age 47, and Victoria Henry, age 38, were identified on surveillance video as the people who threw a small package of marijuana over a fence and into a loading area at the jail. Henry is scheduled for sentencing at 9:30 a.m. December 15th.
Not exactly the smoothest way to smuggle pot into a jail, is it? Who could have imagined there would be cameras pointed at the fences around a jail?
Hello, Chicago!
Barack Obama has been elected the 44th President of the United States. But will he bring us, the cannabis community,
the change we can believe in?
It's an issue of doctors prescribing medical marijuana. I think that should be appropriate.
Normal is asking you to take action and help us hold President-elect Obama to his word with our $10,000 pro-cannabis law reform ad contest.
When I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Just make a 30 or 60 second video or flash animation that answers the question, what should President Obama do about pot? You can submit as many entries as you like, and winning videos will be featured on Normal's website and television campaigns.
What I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue.
The grand prize is $3,500, so enter early and enter often.
Well, I would not punish doctors if it's prescribed. That may require some changes in federal law.
Contest deadline is January 15th, 2009. Check NORML.org for official contest rules.
The war on drugs has been a utter failure, and I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
President Obama, we couldn't agree more.
Who is telling you the truth about marijuana? The government? Scientists? Doctors? Which claims are scientifically valid, and which claims
are reefer madness?
Every Wednesday, we separate the stems of propaganda from the buds of truth with Normal's look at
cannabis science.
Well, Wednesday has rolled around again, and that means it's time for some more cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, who's an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany. And Dr. Earlywine, welcome back to the Audio Stash.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I know you get a lot of emails, and I do too, from people that are wanting to know about the good features of marijuana. I mean, we see a lot of studies that come out purporting to say all the bad things marijuana will do to you. But in the cannabis community, a lot of us think of marijuana as a enhancement to life. And in particular, a lot of people will say that marijuana enhances the taste of things or the sound of music, or in general, just it enhances creativity. And I was just wondering if there's any sort of scientific backing to that idea that marijuana enhances creativity.
I think we're sort of in a predicament with the creativity literature. It's really hard, as you can imagine, to measure creativity in the lab. And when we do try to do that and get people high and have them do these creativity tasks, we don't see a lot of improvement. There was one study in the early 90s that showed some modest improvements, and then one more recent that didn't. I think part of it is that creativity has to be broken down into different little steps. You sort of need a period where you're generating ideas, as crazy as they may be. Cannabis may have some big pluses for that sort of side. And then another side where you just sort of let a creative idea incubate for a little while, and whether cannabis has an impact on that or not, we just don't know. And then this notion of sorting through the ideas and picking the one that's more practical or creative or things along those lines. And it looks like cannabis doesn't seem to be a ton of help with that. part of how this whole idea developed, though, is going back to some rather famous folks who happen to be creative and also use marijuana. But again, as we've talked about, when we look at other literatures, it's just a correlation. It may not be causal. But still, they're an interesting group, and an interesting story about this. Probably the one I hear about the most is the Hashish Club.
Yeah.
In the 1840s, there's a really pretty famous physician back then, Jean-Jacques Moreau, and I apologize, my French is not good if I'm mispronouncing it, and he was actually trying to study hashish's impact on thought and emotion and things like that, and was thinking maybe it would be an interesting model to help people understand, you know, deviations in thought and even mental illness. And he basically dished out hash in this form of this little confection. This was a sugar and spice and hash treat, if you will. People all ate it. And a number of the famous French artists and writers of that era seemed to show up. And a bunch of them claimed they only showed up to observe, which I think we know what to make of that. But Alexandre Dumas of Three Musketeers fame, Baudelaire, Gautier, a number of famous French poets and artists, and it's intriguing to note that, you know, people who are willing to commit their lives to a creative lifestyle are also willing to be more adventurous in other domains, and I think that that may account for some of this relation between creativity and cannabis use.
Once again, we're back to that correlation versus causation. Is it the fact that cannabis makes you more creative, or do more creative people just tend to get involved with cannabis?
It's funny, too, because I invariably meet folks who tell me about their cannabis-induced insight and the one that seemed to be the great idea for them. And in truth, even for my dissertation back in 1990, I got a really neat idea when I happened to be high that was really instrumental for that project. But I have no idea whether I would have gotten that idea anyway or if it would have you know, come up in another context. So there's really no way to know that. And even this randomly assigning folks to use cannabis or not isn't really showing up as a be-all and end-all, but I think in part there's a creative lifestyle, if you will. If you're willing to be flexible with your thoughts, relax, don't pressure yourself, give yourself time to let good ideas incubate, and then, you know, throw out crazy ideas and just go wild and really give yourself a chance to pursue them, what a wonderful thing. Whether you're using cannabis or not, I think you're going to come up with neater, more creative outcomes in the long run.
Yeah, and this is something that's been observed, you know, not, like you said, going all the way back to the mid-1800s. My frame of reference on this would be the comedian Bill Hicks from the 90s, who once had the observation that if you wanted to trade record collections, he'd take all the records that were composed by people that were on drugs, and you could have the ones by the people who weren't on drugs and see who ended up with the better record collection, you know, mentioning the Beatles and Jimi Hendrix and so on. So, you know, I just tend to think that, and this is, you know, just my personal opinion, is that the people that are creative types and, like you say, have the open mind and are willing to think out of the box are the same kind of people that are the kind of people who question authority and are not likely to take the reefer madness lies at face value. They're more likely to want to experiment and try that on their own. Do you see anything like that in the numbers or the studies of people that try these things?
Well, the studies, again, that was done in the early 90s, it's this cognitive flexibility aspect. And so what often happens is if people are willing to entertain something that sounds completely insane, that's how they come up with novel solutions to problems.
Mm.
So if instead of saying, oh, my God, I've got to fix this, how am I going to do it, you say, gee, what would be the stupidest way to solve this problem, and come up with completely insane things, and then sure enough, sometimes that's the thing that works. So a relatively famous case study in creativity, they said, okay, you guys, you've got these two heavy metal bars. How are you going to stick them together so they fit? And somebody was joking around and said, let's stick gum in there. And then it turned out they had basically developed a glue that was based on a gum base. So it was kind of curious how these crazy ideas that seem, you know, flip or insane at the time end up being a neat foundation for novel solutions to interesting problems.
You know, we see a lot of the substance using community, and not just cannabis, but we see a lot of this of other substances in the artistic professions, between musicians and artists and actors and so on. We get references back to, you know, Edgar Allan Poe and drinking, Hemingway and his drinking, the use of absinthe and so on. Do you see this as being part of that that tortured soul idea? These tortured souls that have to medicate themselves. Could that be part of what's happening here?
Don Goodwin had a wonderful book on this and said the highest risk group for alcoholism is American winners of the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Yeah.
And in fact, you start walking through them all, and sure enough, all but one of them is a pretty serious alcoholic. I think some of that is the stressors of trying to have a life that depends upon that kind of output. So once you make this commitment to the arts or writing or things like that, or even, you know, trying to be creative in the sciences, you end up putting a certain amount of pressure on yourself. If you don't have good training in alternative ways to reduce stress, you can see how people do that. The other thing with alcohol in particular is there does seem to be some attentional focus attributed to moderate levels of intoxication, so it's easier to tune out from distractions with that. But obviously this is not the way to have a long career in the creative arts, and you see this time and again, Hemingway late in his life, or other writers who never really got quite so famous. Dashiell Hammett seemed to have run into some problems, John M. Cain, you know, under other folks who were really great at one time, but eventually, you know, trying to let, as Hemingway would say, let the corn whiskey do it, and that just doesn't seem to pan out.
Yeah. Now, you know, creativity exhibits itself in places other than just the creative arts. We could look to the world of science, and, you know, two names come to mind in my reference here would be Carl Sagan, the famous physicist and astrophysicist, and Francis Crick, who helped to discover the double helix structure of DNA. And both of them relate having certain insights. You know, Carl Sagan mentions being the insight under cannabis, and Dr. Crick mentioned his insights coming from LSD trips on occasion. Do you see a lot of that in the scientific community?
Well, and in fact, it's interesting because I always thought, oh, these are apocryphal, these are silly. Lester Grinspoon had a talk with Carl Sagan one-on-one and has no reason to, you know, lie about this, and he really did have those insights. And the Watson and Crick thing is also neat, that basically the formulation of that double helix came during a hallucinatory experience. But even if you look back in ancient times, people don't know the name Kekule, but he's actually the guy who figured out that carbon forms a ring, and he was just kind of dozing off by the fire and may have had a drink or two, but basically had a little dream about a snake, and then the snake bit its own tail and formed this little circle. And then suddenly it like dawned on him, holy cow, the carbon is making this ring. I need to go have this. And, you know, what a surprise. I think really any way that you can sort of get out of your regular fixed thinking patterns and go about creative tasks, you're often delighted. And I do want to emphasize that you don't have to be a writer or an artist or painter along those lines. We all have creative things going on in our lives. You get interesting insights about things about your cooking or just how you want to interact with your kids or things like that. By all means, let those run and really have a good time with them.
Yeah, Dr. Lewin, I think this is a great subject, this idea of creativity and opening up the mind. It's something I wish that we could had a better way of studying. And is there any plans on or anybody that's looking into this field of research?
My colleague James Kaufman, who's out in San Bernardino, who was actually an undergrad at USC when I still taught there, is doing some neat work on it. And I'm actually trying to get a questionnaire approved by my ethics board to just have people basically do a thing sort of like those New Yorker cartoons where they just write little captions to these pictures and then those get rated for creativity. And once I have that approved, I'll ask everybody on the stash to click on a link and jump right in on that. I think we'd get a real kick out of those data.
Yeah, that would be like a lot of fun to see. We'll be glad to participate in that. Dr. Lewin, thanks for joining us again here on the stash with more cannabis science.
Oh, thanks so much.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Well, Stashers, as we all get ready for the Thanksgiving holiday, we know that after the turkey is put away on Thursday, Friday comes with all the shopping and the hubbub that comes with the Christmas shopping holiday season. Even for those of us that don't particularly celebrate Christian holidays, Christmas time is some sort of holiday for just about everybody, even if it's Festivus for the rest of us.
A Festivus for the rest of us!
And on that note, I've got a special Festivus gift for all of you, so gather around the Festivus pole. This is a pre-release from Chief Greenbud, my friend from Nashville, Tennessee, and a song that's coming out on his forthcoming Christmas Marijuana album that has yet to be titled. This one's called Let's Get Blazed for the Holidays, and it's a nice, mellow, pro-marijuana song about what Santa's growing up at the North Pole. I wonder what Arctic Bud tastes like anyway. This is my friend Chief Greenbud. You can find out more about him and get more music at myspace.com/CGB. We'll have links to that at our website at stash.normal.org, where you can also get an MP3 download of this tune.
It's a Festivus miracle!
It's Chief Greenbud with Let's Get Blazed for the Holidays.
Let's get blazed for the holidays. Jingle bells with our eyes aglaze. Merrily caroling, waiting for Santa to show. Every eye twinkling, hoping that he's gonna bring the stuff he's growing at the North Pole. We've been extra good this year. Get on Santa's list, 'cause there's a secret stash Santa's bag, and we think we know what it is. It's red and green like a Christmas tree. It's all wrapped up in twine. It's sticky sweet, I do believe. It smells like naughty pine. So let's get blazed for the holiday. Jingle bells with our eyes aglaze. Merrily caroling, waiting for Santa to show. Every eye twinkling, hoping that he's gonna bring the stuff he's growing at the North Pole. We've left milk on the countertop, sugar cookies by his glass. No thanking him for everything he brought us in the past. But this year when he appears, I hope he knows what we need. A little Christmas cheer, I got the bong right here. Santa, fill it with a little weed. Let's get blazed for the holiday. Jingle bells with our eyes aglaze. Merrily caroling, waiting for Santa to show. Ho, ho, ho. Every eye twinkling, hoping that he's gonna bring the stuff he's growing at the North Pole. Every eye twinkling, Santa, you just got to bring the stuff you're growing at the North Pole.
Of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, When will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMAL. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
And now part two of my interview with Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of NORMAL, on his opinion of President-elect Barack Obama's recent appointments to drug war-level cabinet positions. Yeah, I keep telling people what would be a bigger symbolism of change than to get people who were against reform to change and be for reform. And like you say, they'd be unassailable. You couldn't say they were in it for legalization or anything.
And these people, again, have carried so much water for prohibition over the last 20 or 30 years. I mean, if Joe Biden was to walk into the Senate, the respective Senate and House committees and his entourage and say, you know, I created these offices. I was a prosecutor. I am all about, you know, going after the drug war and the bigger picture of what the drug war is supposed to be. And it doesn't include adults who get caught with a small amount of marijuana. It does not include sick, dying, or sense-threatened patients who need some form of this whole form smoked of marijuana. And regarding these hemp farmers, what could be the question after all these years when all the rest of the world can grow non-psychoactive hemp and our American farmers can't? So just those three little tweaks would be amazing in changing the scope of marijuana prohibition. Wouldn't end it entirely, but largely defang it.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people saying that at the worst case scenario, if we can get the Obama administration to just keep hands off the medical marijuana states, do nothing positive, but then do nothing negative, you know, then we can make the progress at the state and local level.
Well, and that is arguably where change always first, again, obviously occurs, obviously happens at the local level. And so as it bubbles its way up unimpeded by a federal government, we know that the federal government, circa, sadly, and some of the practitioners of those strategies were, in fact, Rahm Emanuel and the drug and Barry McCaffrey, in going out and trying to, without necessarily violating the Hatch Act, going out and getting the federal government and its dollars to negatively affect these state initiatives. So your point's really well taken. If those monies are simply taken out of the process, if the little characters here in Washington, D.C. are not wound up in the back and pointed in the direction of the states to go spread their anti-marijuana propaganda, that alone would be a major improvement.
Yeah, and when you mention the hemp part of it, too, the thing I always think about when our officials say that we can't have hemp here in America when they can seem to grow it everywhere else in the world is that they're saying that our cops are stupid.
I know. To me, it's always my first level of, you know, our police are so well trained. They go through such a high level of education. Most of them generally do have at least a 2-year college degree. Many now have 4-year degrees. And the idea that a police officer in Bulgaria, a police officer in Mongolia, or for the Philippines, can somehow or another discern the difference between marijuana and hemp is just, and ours can't, is absurd. And of course, you know, giving some deference to police, yes, does the product look very similar? Yes, it does. Does it smell quite similar at certain stages? It does. But not only does it just physically look different at a fairly demonstrable point, but hey, we've got the science and the forensics. So in Switzerland, in the Philippines, in Japan, all the places where marijuana is highly illegal to smoke or use for medical purposes, I shouldn't say Switzerland, that's not a good example, but because they're fairly tolerant, but France as another example where you're not allowed to even possess it for medical purposes, but if you do grow it as a hemp product, the police at any point can come and just check a small amount of it with a little litmus test. 2 or 3 minutes, they can figure out whether or not you have psychoactive marijuana or non-psychoactive hemp. And, of course, it's a non-issue.
Yeah, I would think the public would understand that, too, being saturated in all these CSI-style television shows, that they would understand that, you know, if we can figure out from a hair follicle the murderer who committed a crime 40 years ago, we can certainly tell the difference between hemp and marijuana.
Well, I'm really glad that that show has been on now for the better part of a decade and in so many of its different iterations, and people are now so critical and take such good faith, as they should to a degree, in science, which is all basically rational thinking. So, yes, if we, the public, would stop for a moment and get our politicians to do the same on hemp. Hemp is just ridiculous beyond the point of chuckling that it is not available to the American farmer, and that its multi-thousand industrial uses are not more readily available in the United States, that we have to pay for it to come into the United States, we have to pay a tariff, we have to pay all these extra taxes and transportation costs. So it is absurd. My better half is from North Dakota, and it's crazy that you can literally look over this imaginary line and see the undulating fields of hemp blowing in the breeze, but not in United States, the land of the free and the brave.
Now let's do something about that. What would you suggest our listeners could actively do to maybe influence Barack Obama and his administration to take a new look at the hemp and cannabis issues in America?
Well, a couple different things. One is his election, post-election machine, shall we say, is soliciting individuals at change.gov.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, change.gov.
URL. They've got a couple of others where they're taking public input, and Lord knows there are hundreds of thousands of people inputting. And as one goes through the boards, one can see that marijuana, medical marijuana, is definitely part of that discussion, though anybody listening needs to tell 10 more friends to do it to really start to see that kind of input. The other would be, if you're a creative soul, if you want to get graphic, if you will, Normal has a $10,000 cash contest that is essentially themed, what would you tell Obama about pot? And we're already starting to get a nice flow of videos coming in and flash animations. That contest ends on January 15th, and we will, with all due diligence, make the announcement on the night of the inauguration.
Perfect, perfect. You can watch the Obama inauguration, and then you can see who the winners are. And it's a $3,500 top prize, and there's other prizes for like first, second, third, and 10 honorable mentions. So, you know, go ahead and enter early, enter often.
That's right. In fact, with no cost, and we do invite individuals to enter as many as they like. We've done that in the past, and some people have submitted two or three really well-done videos. Last year, we had 165 videos, 30 made it into the final judging, 14 or so came into the money, if you will, and one of them wound up on television as a Normal advertisement.
Now, how is the judging going to work? Is Normal staff judging that? Is it going to be up for a public vote?
That's a good question. In fact, the principal funder of it, I am still trying to figure out whether or not they would like to have it be more of a, which I would personally like, is to put it up on the internet and make it into sort of a little D democratic endeavor, and or we'll have another celebrity panel, as we've done in the past with Normal's advisory board and the Tommy Chongs, the Woody Harrelsons, Willie Nelsons, Rick Steves, Normal staff, activists from around the country. But we will have probably either five celebrity judges, or we're going to put it up on the internet. That is yet to be determined.
All right. Well, keep your eyes open on norml.org for the Pro Cannabis Law Reform Ad Contest. The contest ends January 15th, and Alan St. Pierre is the executive director of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws, and the reason you're listening to this podcast. Alan, thanks so much for joining us again, and we'll hope for change we can believe in the Obama administration.
All the way through, and otherwise you just know we'll be screaming and moaning all the way otherwise.
That's right.
Well, thanks again. Appreciate it, Russ.
All right. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org.
for everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. Normally, we'd be leaving you with a cannabis quote, but today, on Thanksgiving holiday, I'd like to leave you with one of my own, and that is just what I'm thankful for. I'm really, really thankful to Keith Straub and Alan St. Pierre and all the people at Normal, but especially Keith Straub for founding Normal back in 1970, so that those of us who are cannabis consumers could have a voice, an outlet, a lobby in Washington, D.C., and across the country and around the world. Thanks for making me a part of this organization. It's truly a blast. I'm also incredibly thankful for the hardworking activists on the West Coast who made medical marijuana a reality, first in California, and then in Oregon, Washington, and all across the nation, now in Michigan and Vermont and Maine and Rhode Island. And who knows, maybe sometime soon, Alabama, Illinois, Minnesota, New York. You can't stop it. We're overgrowing the government. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Have yourself a great Thanksgiving holiday, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.